Deception is a state of mind and the mind of the state. James Jesus Angleton is head of the CIA counterintelligence. He said that. And he was ahead in 1954 to 1974. We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis and the nations will accept the New World Order. David Rockefeller. Terrorism is the best political weapon, for nothing drives people harder than a fear of sudden death. Adolf Hitler. We are going to see a great number of articles in the future from so-called experts and public officials. They will warn about more violence, more kidnappings and more terrorists. Mass media, the armed forces and intelligence agencies will saturate our lives with fascist scare tactics and predictions that have already been planned to come true. Conspiracy theorist May Brussel, 1974. Hi, and welcome to Dawn's Diorama. It's Sunday, 7th of April, 2013, and my guest this evening is Anthony Court, a radio show host and researcher for The Media Speaks. That's www.themediaspeaks.com. Anthony is joining us to talk about false flag attacks, what they are, how they're carried out, what the main motives are behind them. And we'll also be discussing who's possibly behind them, and we'll elaborate on what that means for our freedoms and how false flag attacks have resulted in new bills being introduced, which further erode people's freedoms and the ever-unfolding police state. The phone lines shall be open, we'll play it by ear again, in the second half of the show for anyone who has further input or questions for Anthony on the subject of false flags. So you can either Skype Bob's Backyard or call the landline 0161 298 0298, and that's from the UK. Or if you're calling internationally, it'll be 0044 0161 298 0298 for the rest of the world. So welcome to the show, Anthony. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to meet you verbally, Dawn, and be a part of this broadcast for Dark City Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. So, Anthony, can we start maybe at the very beginning? First of all, could you go back in time and tell us all about yourself and your story and, for example, your history, how you got involved in both radio and your background research into false flags?
Well, with me, there's a lot to tell there, but throughout my life, working with, a lot of different people and seeing how deceptive people were and, that always stuck with me. I knew that people had malintent. People were corrupt at heart. Not everyone, I'm saying, but when it came to, the event of 9/11, September 11th, 2001, at that time, I didn't really think about it being a terrorist attack. I accepted the story as it was. But as things unfolded and we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, things like the Patriot Act came out, it became apparent as our freedoms were being taken away here in the United States that this event was the kingpin that these elitists were using in order to push the agenda for the military-industrial complex, that is the invasion of Iraq for their oil, for the resources in Afghanistan, the opium trade in Afghanistan, all sorts of things for that huge pipeline going in Afghanistan. It became apparent because if you go far back, it's in their own declassified documents in the CIA. I don't know if you guys talk about this a lot, but there was Operation Northwoods, which is a series of false flag proposals. It originated in our government in 1962, and they go pretty in depth. They are declassified. So anybody listening to this right now could go to their Google, go to whatever search engine you use. I'm not the biggest fan of Google, but I am not, I'm not against using the corporations, their own tools against them. So go ahead and look up Operation Northwoods. You could look at it on Wikipedia right now as I'm saying this. And it included hijacking his bombings, all sorts of different ideas just to get us to invade Cuba. And some of them were real actions against various military and civilian targets. And this actually made it past, you know, and I'm sure some of your listeners have heard about this, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Lyman Lemnitzer, who sent this to the Secretary of Defense to be passed. And I have some things highlighted from the article I wanted to bring up specifically. But it starts off with propaganda. Number one, the first thing they list is propaganda. And that's, you know, it's to start rumors, which is what they do with the mainstream media these days. You know, and that's how they do. They always start rumors. That's the essence of fear-mongering. And it also says here, number two, I'll read it for you, Don. It says, the land-friendly Cubans in uniform over the fence to stage attacks on the base. And this is a base that we had in Cuba, off an island near Cuba, that they're talking about here. And they basically talk about burning their own aircrafts and their own base, sabotage it. And all these, you know, the stated goal is all the same. It's to basically...
Anthony, could you explain exactly what the military-industrial complex is for those that are listening and maybe not familiar with that terminology?
Oh, great. Yeah, no problem. And basically, that's the complex that was built out of World War II. Basically, a lot of companies were put in power because our economy was based off, you know, a lot of jobs were created by the war. We created a lot, you know, so those corporations thrive nowadays. It's things like Halliburton, things like She, things like Lockheed Martin. It's giant corporations that have a fascist control over our government that basically profiteer off of this war and push the propaganda of war. And they're all connected to the think tanks, and they promote this propaganda in order to profit off the war. That's what I consider the military-industrial complex.
Okay, thanks. So, with false flags, do you agree? This is a Wikipedia definition for false flags. I want to know if you agree with it. False flag operations are covert operations conducted by governments, corporations, or other organizations which are designed to deceive the public in such a way that the operations appear as if they are being carried out by other entities. The name is derived from the military concept of flying false colours, that is, flying the flag of a country other than one's own. False flag operations are not limited to war and counterinsurgency operations and have been used in peacetime, for example, during Italy's strategy of tension. Now, obviously, there's more to add to that. Tell me what you think, first of all. Do you agree with that? And is there anything else you could add to the definition?
Well, that is classic definition, Don. You hit the nail right on the head with that. And this goes back to, you know, when there were pirates and they'd put up balaclava, skull and crossbow, you know, or not even that. They would put up the flag of the other ship. They'd put up a British flag, right, or whatever ship they were trying to deceive in order to make them think they were friendly, to lure them closer so that they could invade their ship, kill their crew, steal half the crew, and take all of their stuff. And that's the raw form of what a false flag is. And that's essentially what the government does with these false flags, is they do it to mislead the public from what really happened in order to promote their war agenda, to fund to basically profit off the military actions, which is what happened with, you know, obviously Dick Cheney and Halliburton, which is happening right now with Joe Biden, the vice president of the United States, who has connections to the contractors that are profiting in Afghanistan and Iraq as well. So I'd come off on a limb saying that he's the new Dick Cheney, in my opinion. You know, they always make him seem like, you know, I'm digressing a little bit with that. But you're right. You hit the nail right on the head. And a really old false flag, maybe a little bit newer than what you're saying, like, you know, that whole, we'll put up, you know, that came back from way far back. What the classic dictionary definition of false flag is exactly what you just said.
Yes.
And, you know, those things evolve over time. And when 1898 at Havana Harbor, you know, we had to remember the Maine incident, and that was, you know, one of the original false flags. And they even had a phrase that this was to basically cry for action, you know, for the Spanish-American War that was fueled there. And basically what happened is that it's very similar to how that phrase of 9/11 came, you know, that whole "we remember," right? Because the phrase for "remember the Maine" had a phrase. It said, "Remember the Maine, to hell with Spain." So it's sort of like, oh, it's like, remember 9/11. So to hell with the war on, you know, to anybody that we say is involved with the war on terror, which they label as Al-Qaeda or any militant groups that oppose them, infiltrating countries that are trying to be sovereign, like our situation now, in Syria that's unfolding, which is very similar to what happened in Libya. I know I'm going off in all sorts of different directions right now, but I'm trying to relate this to current events. But, you know, it goes far back, and that they even referenced Remember the Main incident in that Operation Northwoods documents that the CIA declassified. And that's what I was referencing from. And it even says it references that as something they could do. So they say, we could blow up a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Bay and blame Cuba, just like we did with the Remember the Main incident. So they're admitting the mentality that intelligence has. This shows the length that they're willing to go in order to get us into a war for their personal interests. And that happened with Operation 40 and the Bay of Pigs. And the Lyman Lemnitzer, who basically pushed the false flag proposals, Operation Northwoods, was also part of Operation 40. And the people that were trying to get us into the Bay of Pigs. And because Kennedy didn't go along with all that, it's theorized that that's why he was killed. That they're saying that Operation 40 went straight after Kennedy. And although we didn't invade Cuba right after his death, we did get the Gulf of Tonkin incident, another false flag, with LBJ and Robert McNamara, who was the defense secretary during that incident. And to anybody who doesn't know the Gulf of Tonkin incident, we had a ship that was actually shot. You know, it was actually shot. They said that it was shot down, and that was the whole reason we got into the Vietnam War, the Vietnamese War. Yet it didn't even happen, and this was admitted in a documentary called Fog of War. You could look it up on YouTube right now. And the Defense Secretary Robert McNamara says it didn't happen. It was a mistake. They thought they were. It was basically miscommunication through radio. That's what they blamed it on. But in my opinion, it was a complete false flag. It was just an excuse to get us into the war with Vietnam. And this resulted in over a million deaths, Don. A million deaths. This is what, you know, this is the same mentality our government has now. This is what we got from 9/11. This is what we got through the PNAC report, which was a think tank for the neocons that W. Bush was a part of. And they said we needed a new Pearl Harbor-like event so that we could start our war basically in the Middle East to get – you know, not only to get the oil, but, you know, to promote their whole agenda, to promote the whole New World Order agenda, to end the sovereignty of any country that gets in the UN or United States' way that does not conform to the World Bank. I'm sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a rant there.
Yeah, that's a very good, you've given us a lot of really good information there, but I just want to kind of rein you back in a wee minute just to ask you a few things to clarify, because obviously, well, you might have a lot of information there and you're very knowledgeable on the subject, obviously. The listeners, not all of the listeners, we have to take into account, and not all the listeners are really kind of up on the terminology, for example, like problem, reaction, solution. So right. I don't know if you could maybe explain that and how that relates to false flags. That would be good.
Okay. So what you mean, how do we respond, or what do we do to stop false flags?
But like the problem reaction solution scenario, that's pretty relevant.
Oh yeah, no, I misinterpreted what you said. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's they create the problem, then the solution. They already have the solution before the problem is created. The problem is what they create. It's a false problem, and whether or not it is every time, just like the former secretary, actually chief of staff to the White House, Rahm Emanuel, have said before, you can't let a good crisis go to waste. And that's just saying right there that they have all sorts of plans to take away our freedoms whenever these big events happen, whether they're false flags or not. And this we could relate this to maybe the original 1993 World Trade Center bombing, Don, when they had an FBI informant who was on to all the terrorists that were supposedly behind that, Ahmad Salem. And that's E-M-A-D. His last name is spelled Salem, S-A-L-E-M. He was an Egyptian FBI informant, Don. And there's recordings of him with the FBI of them, you know, and basically he points out that they knew about the attack and that they were trying to give them real explosives instead of fake ones. Originally, they were going to give them fake explosives just to basically get them in that situation. And it's all entrapment when you think about it. Although I don't want terrorists in the United States, that whole 1993 World Trade Center bombing was a false flag that failed because they weren't able to get the building down. And their solution to that was what we got in 2001 on 9/11. And I've seen a lot of documentaries out there, Don, that say, you know, they have so many different allegations that the planes were remote controlled and all that. I'm not arguing about that. I'm not sure about that. You know, perhaps there were, you know, perhaps they were controlled. Perhaps there were people in the planes. I'm not arguing about those facts. All I'm saying is what we got after the Afghanistan war, the Iraq war, the Patriot Act, all those were planned years before. So just like you said, problem, action, solution. They were waiting. They were waiting, just like they stated in that, like I said, the PNAC, which is a Project for a New American Century.
Yeah, I've heard about you.
They layered out their problem, action, solution in the in that, and they had an office. I forgot which town it was in. It might have been in D.C., but it closed down in I believe 1999 or something like that. But that doesn't mean they're still not operating. Things like that, things like Bilderberg Group. I'm sure you guys talk about the Bilderberg Group.
Oh yeah,
The meeting of the world elite. That's definitely part of this. You know, these are a lot of the roundtable groups that interconnect, that work behind the scenes, and they call them think tanks. On the surface, they call them think tanks, and they're like, oh, well, we just suggest what we should do. You know, we're not saying this is, you know, yeah. They try to deny that that's where it all comes from, but they're admitting it right there. Oh, well, we're just suggesting it. And it happens to be all the most powerful people that can make those things happen there. And just to get, you know, which is against the Logan Act in the United States, which prevents any person with political power in the United States that's a politician to meet with anybody that discuss any sort of policy outside of, you know, outside of Congress. So I'm sure you guys are quite familiar with all that. We could go, I mean, anybody, and if anybody's curious to see what I'm talking about, they could look it up themselves. And that's why we're here. You know, I'm reaching out to you guys at Dark City Radio, reaching out anyone listening right now that's questioning any sort of false flag events. That these things do happen, it goes back just as far as you said, with putting up the flag of the opposing country, just to make them think, let's put up a French flag so they think the French attacked instead of British, so we could get two enemies against each other. It's that classic battle move of black operations.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going off on a crazy rant here.
Yeah. So I do want to go back, obviously, because the problem and reaction solution, there was one thing I wanted to mention. It was actually James Corbett of the Corbett Report. When he elaborated on this, he was referring also to the trivium method being related to the problem reaction solution, which is finding the logic, which is the details of an event, finding the grammar, which is how those details go together, and the rhetoric, which is how you communicate that to the other people or the outside world. And he also talks about it that has been taken deliberately out of the education system over the past 150 years to undermine what we used to think of schooling. And another thing he's mentioned is that it's part of a process of dumbing people down so that they don't have the ability to reason what's going on in the world around them. Basically, they're lacking the critical thinking skills. What's your take on that?
That's completely correct. I have actually heard of the person you're talking about. He's a great reporter. I've seen some of his reports, and a very knowledgeable fellow. I commend him. And he is very knowledgeable on these issues. In fact, he's encouraged me to be into the subject as well. So he's a very smart individual. I'm glad that you quoted from him. And he's completely correct. We're indoctrinated from the beginning to just kind of accept what we're given, to accept our authority, what the authorities tell us as the official story. And you asked me in the beginning what really influenced me to get into all this. Is I've seen how corrupt the top of things can be with, you know, in the public school system, the public school, the administration. You see all sorts of corruption with that. You know, people stealing money. It goes beyond bounds. But we are indoctrinated in our public school system that we have here, you know, and probably abroad, to, you know, basically accept what we're told. And part of figuring this out is questioning things. I don't accept the official story that I've been told because I've been lied to my whole life, Don. We've all been lied to about so many things. And then they tell us, 30 years down the line, 40 years down the line, Operation Northwoods, oh, we can tell them now, and it's okay because we don't do stuff like that anymore. And I call bullshit. They just showed us their blueprint of everything they've done. I'm even surprised they declassified those documents. It's sort of just showing your hand to the enemy. And I'm not saying that those things were good, but I'm just surprised that they even declassified those because it gives people like us ammo. But it's more than that. It's about telling people that these are the kind of things that they plan. These are the kind of things that they think out. Like, oh, and if you go look further in the documents with Operation Northwoods, they even talk about making fake identities for people on the airplanes that witnessed a hijacked aircraft type situation. So they're willing to make up people's identities completely.
Just while you're saying that, with the Detroit underwear bomber, was he not flagged through with the FBI through the airport security? He didn't have a passport or anything, but he was wearing a smartly dressed.
That's a very great subject. I'm glad you brought that up, Don, because Mutalib, you're talking about, he was witnessed by, if anybody listening knows, Kurt Haskell, who was an American lawyer, who was coming back from, I believe, Amsterdam on a private trip. And he said he witnessed an Indian man in a suit who looked like intelligence escort this sweating kid through security and bring him to the flight attendant. And they got him on the plane, even though he didn't have a passport, exactly what you just said. And in a hearing, they admitted that they were on to this fellow, and they let him get on the plane because it was for and they couldn't say anymore because of national security. So they even admitted that they were on to this fellow, which when they say that, in my opinion about when there's any intelligence stories in the news like this, when they admit to that, there's definitely more to the situation. It's like when a criminal's in trouble, he'll admit to when a killer is in trouble, he'll admit to one murder, but he doesn't admit to the whole crime. To all of the crimes he's ever done. And I feel like that's what they've done in the situation. The intelligence is like, oh, yeah, well, we were on to them. We were just, you know, surveilling him for further terrorist activity, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the cop-out excuse. That's like, oh, well, we were following him to find more terrorists. So they let him on the plane. If they knew he was getting on the plane and he was he had intent to do that type of things, then they shouldn't have done it in the first place, which is the hole in their story right there. Like, you know, they obviously had they have backups for these things, and whether or not, you know, the kid seemed doped up on psychotropic drugs, just like James Holmes from the Batman shooting in that Dark Knight theater shooting in Colorado. They had the same look on their eyes if you look at them, and I'm not saying they're on the same type of drugs, but they both looked like they were coerced in the situation. And you know what? I forgot to mention Mutalib. His dad he's from a pretty wealthy family. His family, his dad is part of a big bank in Nigeria. So I wonder what the connection is there. It just so happens that family members of all these banking elite, like James Holmes, has that connection to that big LIBOR scandal. And now another false flag person, Mutalib, has his father as part of the Nigerian bank. So why do all these people have some sort of connection to these big banks? It, you know, it just boggles my mind, Don.
The rabbit hole goes very deep there. Now, in terms of the false flag, see, for them to be successful, inverted commas, successful, it needs a mainstream media very much so. Now, obviously, going back to the military-industrial complex, if you look at the whole picture here briefly, because there's like a whole 10 shows or more on its own, but with the military-industrial complex, the same people that are in control of, like, the military and all the different aspects of it, like the mainstream media, it's all the same people. So what kind of role do you think the mainstream media play here exactly in making sure the information gets out? and what, like, maybe in terms of
mind control? I'm sorry.
Like, what kind of role does the mainstream media play in terms of false flags? Would you see?
Oh well, they play a huge role in it, Don. I'm glad you brought that up because number one on the Operation Northwoods document is to spread rumors, which is another way of saying spread rumors to the mass media so they convince the people. So that's what the mainstream media's role. The mainstream media has a huge role in selling us the lies. That if you think about it, all of the journalists that we see overseas that are with the soldiers have to be trained as part of the military. So they consider themselves as part of, you know, as part of that infantry. Then when we're going around with them like that, so we don't really get a fair take of what goes on in that respect, because the mainstream media, what they tell us is what the Pentagon tells them. So that they play a huge role in and I'm talking about U.S. politics in that respect, but that has a big, that's definitely connected to the big picture. But it plays a huge role in it. You know, the mainstream media is owned by what, 6-7 corporations that have interest with the military industrial complex as well. And if you look at, I'm going to go a little deep here, but I've interviewed whistleblowers before that have worked for big contractors. I won't say any specific names, but they've done some research and they figured out that the people that run these giant contractors, that are funded, you know, that basically win $1 million of contracts from the military and our tax dollars here at the U.S., they're former government, they're former employees of what they're contracting to. They're former military people. They're people that have connections. They're people that are corporate crony fascists that basically push this warlike agenda so that their contract, they get millions of dollars in contracts no matter what. So I sort of explained that in a complicated way, but basically, so here's an example. Like a former general will own, say, you know, a former general owns like a contractor that provides safety to an embassy or whatever, like overseas. It just so happens that he gets millions of dollars of contracts and he gets pushed to the top of a bidding list to win the contract for that. It's part of that whole scheme. And it's these people who know each other that are former government officials that use that part of the free market that they call the free market. It's not really the free market because they're giving each other favors. It's really a favor system. And it promotes the whole agenda. It's part of ending sovereignty in general. And it's part of the whole corporate scam.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you there. As a result of this, as a result of the false flag attacks, much of our liberties are being taken away under the false guise of in the name of security, inverted commas again. So what role, like the Patriot Act has come in, well, obviously in 2001, the Patriot Act, I believe, came in 2001, and now we've got the NDAA, which is probably even worse. But could you tell us a bit about the Patriot Act and your understanding of that, and also the NDAA, and how this all ties back?
And the Patriot Act, you could basically call it the Unpatriot Act, because it's not patriotic at all. It completely pisses all over the rights that we're supposed to have as citizens that our forefathers fought and died for when they fought the British and gained independence. And the NDAA is a complete power. They're all power grabs. It's just saying basically that what it all is, Don, it's stuff that they've been wanting to do to us, but they're just putting it all on paper. They're telling us, they're getting the balls to tell us, oh, this is what we're going to do because people hate us for our freedoms. So why are our freedoms taken away because people hate us for our freedoms? I don't understand that mentality. The whole thing, the NDAA, they pass it every year, but every time they include some other literature with it that takes more of our way or more of our rights away. But in my opinion, a lot of these things they've been doing all along. They do these things, but now they're just telling us they're doing it. Now they know people are so brainwashed. They have such control over the public with, you know, with Hollywood and all the distractions and sports and everything, that they can just tell us this is what they're going to do to us. And the people won't rally up like they used to. We won't tar and feather the politicians like we used to when they lied to us. We need accountability. Whatever happened to accountability? People are so brainwashed and lost in reality TV. I feel like shaking people by the shoulders and screaming in their face sometimes, wake up! But it just won't work. I just don't know what to do anymore. And that's why I'm here. I'm reaching across the aisle to you over in Scotland here on Dark City Radio from themediaspeaks.com, because I am sick and tired of lies being believed by the mass people, all the lies being spread by the governments and by the six corporations that control our media, by Rupert Murdoch, that filthy scumbag that thinks he owns us all, and they think they all laugh at us when they pass the Monsanto Protection Act, when they're trying to murder 80% of the world's population, yet we're conspiracy theorists because we care about our fellow man and our fellow sisters.
Wow, very passionate there. Again.
Sorry, I apologize for kind of losing myself there for a minute.
No, it's okay. We don't have any censorship here. Have you heard of the Reichstag fire? Because the reason I mention this is because it's very, there was a bill in relation to that back in 1933, I believe, that was very similar to the Patriot Act. In that, Hitler was...
Oh, you're talking about the right...
Hitler, there was a fire, yeah, in the...
Hitler created?
Anthony. Excuse me. Hitler was just elected, and the Reichstag Congress caught on fire. They passed a law called the Reichstag Fire Decree that basically took all rights away from the citizens. And it's places like habeas corpus, it took away their right for personal freedom, their freedom of opinion and expression. And obviously, the Patriot Act now has added the internet and the telephone communications as well. I think that's really the only difference is the internet now. But I'm just wondering if you were familiar with that, Anthony?
Yeah, I was familiar with that. I've heard of that before. And that was, it's sort of how the people that are in charge of us, they've paid attention to history. They know what they're doing. They know how people have gained control before. They take notes from what Hitler did. They take notes from that because they see how it worked. If you look, okay, how many times have you heard someone who's very involved with chess or very involved with battle tactics? They always say how great Hitler's battle tactics were. They don't talk, you know, they praise him for his battle tactics because he was, in that respect, he was smart. But his intentions were bad, of course. But they emulate after people like that have, because that's the nature of the elitists that we have. They want control over every aspect of our lives. They want control over every aspect of our lives. So how do they do it? They look at what Hitler did. They do a Reichstag fire. They do a 9/11. They say, hey, I want that power. So what do? We need a new Pearl Harbor to get people in mass to approve our slaughter overseas so we can just make a bunch of money and end country sovereignty to promote our new world order. So they've been taking notes for a long time, Don, throughout history. I mean, we had the Federal Reserve Act passed in 1913.
Yes,
that's how long these people have been. They planned for years to do that. So this has been planned over such a big span of time. Once Hitler came around, they had support from, George W. Bush's father with the bank he had. I remember they had a connection, I believe, to IG Farben Bank. Or that was Standard Oil. That was the Rockefeller connection. So
when
Rockefeller funded both sides of the war, but that was a big power grab. That they were basically hedging their bets on saying, "Oh, well, we want to be on, you know, we're going to be on either winning side, and profiteer off this anyway." So they did was, we're getting more. We're getting Hitler, but they're doing it more mentally. They're doing it more through propaganda instead of just going out and invading it country by country like Hitler did. We're doing that in parts, but they've been taking notes on throughout history about what people did to mislead the people ever since Caesar. You mean we could go back as far as Caesar? He got in power of their time. He would say, hey, oh, you pay me a tax or we won't put out the fire. We just sit on your home. So it's that same idea. It's just the psychopaths looking for different ways to manipulate the masses. And that's what they've been doing, done this whole time. That's what they use false flag attacks for. That's what they're willing to do that. And they proved that through declassified documents, through things we figured out, through the Gulf of Tonkin. We were willing to invade Vietnam and cause the deaths of over 1 million people based off of a false event.
Right. Can we go back? Thank you. Can we go back to the 9/11 here? Because there's just a couple of things I wanted to bring up. Obviously, for the 9/11, there was over 100 professors that came out against the 9/11 Commission report and basically said that it was tragically flawed. Not just those 100 professors, but also there were over 250 pilots and aviation professionals and over 1,500... Let me finish and then I'll let you speak. Over 1,500 architects and engineers gave credibility to the claim that it was flawed. As what your take on this is, and also the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, allowing the Rothschilds to gain control of the central banks there after post 9/11, because like, nowadays there's only there's only two or three Rothschild central banks that the Rothschilds don't own. So what do you think about that?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last part.
You're very passionate, Anthony, and I like that. But yeah, about the invasion of post 9/11, the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq.
I don't want it to be true, but it is. The fact that it is why I'm sitting here today, why I'm talking to you today, is because I care about the people that are being lied to. I care about them more than they care about themselves, in a sense. At least I feel that way, because people turn a blind eye to it because it's scary information. It is scary. Like I don't want there to be false flags. I don't want there to be mass shootings. I don't want there to be a new world order. That's why I'm doing this. But I'm doing it because I'm scared. I'm doing it a different way. They turn a blind to it, but I embrace that fear and I turn it against these bastards trying to ruin our lives. That's what people should do. We should be uniting together, just like we're doing here, just like the MediaSpeaks.com is with Dark City Radio right now. We're sharing information. We've come from very different walks of life, all of us here. And that's the beauty of talk radio. That's the beauty of sharing ideals, is we can set even minor differences aside and just share what we know about certain things, what we can prove, and talk about the solutions and talk about what we can do to help wake up more people about it, to get some traction, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And I remember you wanted to talk also about Sandy Hook, because that was like reportedly a false flag as well. The Sandy Hook.
Perhaps I should turn up the volume. Hold on.
Sandy Hook. Could you elaborate on the Sandy Hook Elementary School?
Okay, well, with Sandy Hook, there's a lot of different things I've heard about Sandy Hook being a false flag type event, and I'm sort of on the fence about that, but from all of the information I've heard, there's conflicting rumors. The one thing that sits in my mind is when the first news report of them going there is there was a guy that said he saw a guy in camo pants escorted out of the woods and put into a police car. And they overheard the guy say he didn't do it. But this guy, there was no mention of this guy, who he was, or anything afterwards. So that's what I want to know. I want to know more about that guy they put in the cop car. Who the heck was that guy? How come I never saw any blood? I didn't see any blood, anything. I didn't see any shell casings. I didn't see any bodies. I didn't see anything. And yet our government right now, they passed I forgot how many executive orders Obama pushed, and they're trying to. He was trying to promote the UN Arms Trade Treaty, but every time he brings it up, they bring out the kids from Sandy Hook. They stand on the graves of the children, and if they're, you know, I sympathize with the families if there were kids involved with this, if there were deaths, I sympathize with those families. But the fact that they're using it as fuel to to implement this power grab, to take away our guns, to promote assault rifles being taken away from us, that is a big red flag right there. And no pun intended with false flag. It's a red flag, especially with how they're using it. And I mentioned earlier, Rahm Emanuel, like how he said, they don't let a good crisis go to waste. And the fact that they're so sinister, they call it a good crisis. So just look at the mentality they're using. They stand on the graves of these children. That kind of shows me that if it was a false flag and they're willing to do that, that just shows how sinister they really are. And there's a double standard I have with the president on this issue. It's quite obvious. He says he sympathizes with these kids that were murdered by these assault weapons and how we should be guilty for having our rights. Well, is he guilty? Is he apologizing? Is he praying for the kids that he causes the deaths of overseas when he pushes the drone button? I mean, how many kids has he killed in drone strikes overseas? He doesn't talk about that. How come he isn't banning the use of drones across seas? Those are more dangerous than assault weapons. How about that?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, absolutely. Now, what about the motives? Like, why do you think they're doing this? What's their ultimate goal? And also, like, if you look at the airports there, the fact in relation to these false flags, I've noticed in the after post 9/11, like they've introduced these cancer machines, these X-ray scanners, the naked body scanners. So why do you think they're doing all of this? What is their ultimate goal?
Wait, say that last part again. You were talking about the body scanners, and what did you ask?
I said, why do you think they're doing all these false flags? What is their ultimate goal?
Oh, with the body scanners, you're saying?
Well, with that and with all these measures they're putting in place, I mean...
Part of making the military-industrial complex and security contractors more money, Don. They had these... Okay, what they're doing... you know about Michael Chertoff, right?
Yeah, the naked body.
Okay, so for anyone listening, if they don't know who Michael Chertoff is, he's the former chief of Homeland Security. And he has a connection with the Chertoff group to the company that profits off the body scanners, the equipment being sold to Homeland Security. So the whole purpose of that, Don, is sort of brushing along the lines of what I said earlier. It's the problem action solution you talked about that you referenced from Corbett. And what they do is they fearmonger the problem. Oh, Al-Qaeda. They have the solution prepared, which is set up with the company that they're going to profit from, the Chertoff group that had that connection, right? So that was all set up. And I actually interviewed a TSA whistleblower who said that just before the underwear bombing, they had a body scanner in their airport, and they said that they were told from above that they were going to push out all the body scanners, but they were waiting for something. So what were they waiting for, Don? What do you think they were waiting for?
It's a rhetorical question, isn't it?
They were waiting for the underwear bomber. That's what they were waiting for. Because, right when the underwear bomber... That was the whole excuse of putting the body scanners in all the airports. December 25th, Christmas Day, underwear bomber happens. Suddenly we get all these X-ray body scanners in there that were sitting in a warehouse within the year before waiting to be pushed out.
Yes, it's all very suspect.
We're going to sell them this too to make them think they're safer, and I can just hear them sniveling and laughing at us as we think we're getting safe as they radiate our bodies with all this radiation.
Right. You look at all these measures that they're putting into place, and actually, I wanted to, just before we finish up, because we've only got a few minutes left to go. So I was going to, you've said something about you were doing a documentary for InfoWars competition, Paul Revere.
That is correct.
Do you want to finish up by talking a bit about that?
Great, yeah, I would love to talk about that. I can't reveal too much, but if anybody is listening, if they haven't heard InfoWars.com, there's a Paul Revere contest, and it's to make a video, which can be basically anything. They can be a documentary, music video, anything like that, but it has to promote liberty and basically awaken the masses and promote the message of liberty. And if you don't know who Paul Revere was, he was the silver trader who set up a system to warn the colonies of the coming troops. They had a huge rebel arsenal of guns that were going to be taken away by the British at Lexington and Concord, and he warned of that. He was part of the system that warned warned and prevented that occurring. So what we're trying to do with our entry is basically warn people of the tyranny of the New World Order, of things like the false flag attacks. And that's what we do in our documentary, themediaspeaks.com. We all work together on this, and you'll be able to see what it's all about. It should be out within actually the next 5 days. I'd say at the latest. So you'll be able to see that entry on our YouTube channel, which is actually it'll be on our website. We're gonna have a tab on our website, themediaspeaks.com. You'll see our Paul Revere documentary. It's about an hour in length, and we go out and we talk to a state representative about gun control. We talk to a lot of people in the streets. I can't say where yet. You'll see in the video. I'm glad you asked about it, Don. But anyone out there right now listening can still be a part of this contest. Although I'm someone you'd be competing against, to me, it's not just about the competition. I want people out there to promote the message just like we are. That's what this whole contest is about. Winning or not, and the prize is $100,000. But to me, that doesn't really matter. What really matters, Don, is us getting out there and spreading the information and waking more people up so that we could put an end to the corruption that we're all dealing with. And if you guys want to see any more of my reports or my videos, they're always posted on themediaspeaks.com. I have my own YouTube channel called Constant Injustice, and that's all one word, but those can all be found on themediaspeaks.com. And I also put up a lot of different articles that talk about a lot of the information that I mentioned during this broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I was going to ask if you had any final words you want to say. You've still got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you want to add? And you're obviously welcome to stay on for the next hour as well in the Dark City show. But we have got a couple of minutes if you want to just take it and finish.
Yeah. Great. Well, I just want to summarize that together, knowing, you know, spreading this information, spreading these ideals, that's the tip of the spear right there. And people may call us talking heads. People may say that, may not think that's the solution, but what are they doing? They're not taking this head on. We should all be in this together. It's not about fame. It's not about fortune. It's about saving humanity from the hands of evil and corruption. And that's what themediaspeaks.com is all about. And that's why we reached out to you guys here at Dark City Radio. I hope to be a guest on in the future on Don's Diorama. If not, I wish you the best. I definitely love your broadcast. You guys put out a lot of great information, and I commend you guys for doing that and steering away from the mainstream. And we have a Saturday show for themediaspeaks.com on our mother channel on YouTube called themediaspeaks.com, spelled out DOT.com. On YouTube, we have a Saturday show at I think 8 p.m. your time. No, it'd be 7 p.m. GMT time on Saturdays, because it's 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time where I live in California. And we do that show every Saturday. Me, Kyle Phillips, David Lake, and Sam DeGangi of the Media Speaks. We all met in the InfoWars Reporter Contest, and we united because we wanted to keep spreading the message of liberty out there. Because we were mobilized, and that's what we're doing with this new contest with Paul Revere, and we hope you guys all do the same. I encourage anybody out there to join the contest and help us spread the word.
I've seen a few of your shows, and you guys do a great job getting the information out there, really solid. And it's been absolutely fantastic having you on. And yes, I would love to have you on again in future, and we will talk again, and definitely keep in touch, and we will sort something out as regards that. Also, I mean, if you want to bring on one of your buddies that does the Saturday
show, they would love
to
come on. Phillips and Sam DeGangi, they would make one hell of a show. They do every Saturday when I meet with them every week. So if we could all come on, maybe do a fun Dark City show all together, that would be great.
Well, we'll discuss that off air anyway, and we'll work something out. For all the listeners that have been tuning in, I'd like to say thank you to you as well. And unfortunately, we didn't get to do the call-in as there doesn't seem to be enough time. However, there's the next hour and we'll just be talking about random stuff for the Dark City crew, so you can call in then. So next week on Dawn's Diorama, I'll have ex-Scientologist Pete Griffiths. That's all for this week, and thank you. Good night.